It may be traced in the West back to a school that flourished a century before the birth of Socrates in the Greek town of Miletus, where the Meander River empties into the Aegean Sea. We do not really know much about what the pre-Socratics taught, but later accounts of the few original fragments that survive suggest that the Milesians were already searching for explanations of all natural phenomena in terms of a fundamental constituent of matter. For Thales, the first of these Milesians, the fundamental substance was water. For Anaximenes, the last of this school, it was air. Today, Thales and Anaximenes seem quaint. Much more admiration is given now to a school that grew up a century later in Abdera, on the south coast of Thrace. There, Democritus and Leucippus taught that all matter is composed of tiny, eternal particles they called atoms. Atomism has roots in Indian metaphysics that go back even earlier than Democritus and Leucippus. These early atomists may seem wonderfully precocious, but it does not seem to me very important that the Milesians were wrong, and that the atomic theory of Democritus and Leucippus was in some sense right. None of the pre-Socratics, neither at Miletus nor at Abdera, had anything like our modern idea of what a successful scientific explanation would have to accomplish, the quantitative understanding of phenomena. How far do we progress toward understanding why nature is the way it is if Thales or Democritus tells us that a stone is made of water or atoms? When we still do not know how to calculate its density or hardness or electrical conductivity. And of course, without the capacity for quantitative prediction, we could never tell whether Thales or Democritus is right. On the occasions when at Texas and Harvard I have taught physics to liberal arts undergraduates, I have felt that my most important task, and certainly the most difficult, was to give the students a taste of the power of being able to calculate in detail what happens under various circumstances in various physical systems. They were taught to calculate the deflection of a cathode ray, or the fall of an oil droplet, not because that is the sort of thing everyone needs to calculate, but because in doing these calculations, they could experience for themselves what the principles of physics really mean. Our knowledge of the principles that determine these and other motions is at the core of physical science and a precious part of our civilization. From this point of view, the physics of Aristotle was no better than the earlier and less sophisticated speculations of Thales and Democritus. In his books, Physics and On the Heavens, Aristotle describes the motion of a projectile as being partly natural and partly unnatural. Its natural motion, as for all heavy bodies, is downward, toward the center of things, and its unnatural motion is imparted by the air,